Yeah. Yeah. This for the real ones. Yeah. Yeah. Doing what they said I couldn't. Yeah.
Hello, y'all. This is your girl, Edna. Most of y'all know me as Nana on Twitter. And welcome to my first pod on Golden State for the season. I'm going to go over the overview of Golden State this season, go through game by game, what I like, what I didn't like, the highlights, the overview. I will go over what to look forward to and, like, basically the excitement of the season. I'm looking forward to having you guys, and welcome. Welcome to the pod.
Yeah. Yeah. This for the real ones.
In this pod, I want to talk about the season, the start, game by game highlights. We'll go over the highs and the lows, what we can improve in. We'll address the fandom because our fandom has been a little crazy so far. We've been bickering and fighting all over the timeline. For a team that's 20-4, that's kind of crazy. And lastly, touch on these rookies and what it means for them to be part of the team moving forward, especially when Klay and Wiseman return. We opened the season with the Los Angeles Lakers, which was such a big deal because, A, the Lakers were getting all the hype and Golden State wasn't expected to be Golden State. They were like, oh, especially since Klay's gone, Wiseman is gone, rookies don't know the system. There is no way Golden State is even going to produce a good enough game. A lot of people were saying this was going to be a blowout. And then there's a few people that are saying maybe Golden State can sneak in as the underdogs. Nevertheless, we were the underdogs. Nobody expected us to pull off this game. This game was very interesting because we won in a way that I didn't think we were going to win. I thought if we had a chance to win this game or go over the way we did and dominate this game, it would be through Steph Curry and Draymond Green. In fact, Draymond and Steph will always be the reason why we win games. It will always be the reason why they contribute the most to games. But they were obviously not just the only ones in this game. This game was such a shock because of what was producing by certain players and our role players. Steph didn't shoot the ball really well. In fact, he shot poor. I want to say 5 for 21, I think that's what he was, 23%. That is literally like the definition of a bad Steph Curry game in terms of just shooting. Three-pointers weren't hitting. I think he only hit 2 of them in that game, and he shot like below 30% in those 2 threes. And he somehow still led us in scoring because he was getting fouled a lot. However, Steph's gravity was so important in this game. Whether that was rebounding the ball, which is insane for a guy who's 6'3", and especially a court that's shared by Anthony Davis, he was rebounding the ball very well. And his pass, I mean, he would have had way more than 10 assists. But his assist and his ability to get the ball moving, even when he's not having his shot fall, is just a thing of beauty. He did have a triple-double in this game, and it was well-earned. And his gravity spoke so well in this game. It opened up the floor. And that's what shocks everybody about Golden State. Last year, we literally had no spacing. And when we did have spacing, players just didn't hit their shots. And this year, we just made a few tweaks. People think this is a whole new team. No, really not. We just got rid of a few low IQ players and added a few high IQ players and willing to just step forward and shoot the ball. And that was very evident, especially when Belly came into the game. He went 6-for-7, gave us 15 points, a great 25-minute spark off the bench. And not to mention, he was rebounding and passing the ball. He's such a great playmaker. Very underrated part of his game is his playmaking. Andre Iguodala, that man does not age. Oh, my God. I mean, that game just showed us, like, hey, man, he was just chilling in Miami. And he was just getting paid to be in South Beach, chilling, enjoying the breeze, enjoying whatever he was doing down there because man came to play basketball. This is not like no Udonis Haslem type of role he's playing. He's not just sitting there as a mentor and sitting on a bench or riding the wave. No, he's here to contribute to the team. He's here to be a leader. He's here to affect games and outcome. And going 4-for-7, boy, in 22 minutes, yeah, that's affecting outcome. And giving us beautiful 12 points. Thank you, Andre. Andre will always be a warrior for life. And he's always been a pleasant thing to the Golden State. Just his presence being there. Like, just seeing the core. Draymond, Steph, soon, Klay. We're almost there. Winter's coming. And obviously, Andre. Those four just bring in a culture to Golden State that wasn't really there few years prior to the team when they sucked, but they bring something. You just see Golden State and that's the image that comes to your head. Another evident thing is, I mean, Wiggins was not very aggressive in this game as often, but he did, however, play some excellent defense. And Wiggins has been playing excellent defense, and we will touch on that later on, his defense and how important it's been to Golden State. Jordan Poole, boy, was that a special development for Golden State. There was time, I remember, a couple of years ago, like when he was a rookie, people were giving up on Jordan Poole. They're like, oh, he can't do anything. He sucks. He's not going to be big. He was a waste. Laker fans were running a marathon about, should have picked THD, blah, blah, blah. And Jordan Poole said, you know, hold your beers. Hold your beers. I mean, this kid is going to be a star in this league. I mean, one thing about him is his confidence, his ability to just launch. He's becoming a better playmaker. He's understanding assignments. And as he gets older, he's only going to get better. So that's another thing for Golden State to look forward to, as well as Wiseman's return and Klay Thompson and when this team actually fully gets the mesh together. Our defense really did win us this game. So kudos to our defense. Stepped up really big. And the final score may not really show how important defense was, but defense got us there. And our ability to get in the paint in this game, too. And we were able to get what we want, enjoy driving, get into the free throw line. I mean, we got there 30 times. So that tells you about how focused we are, and especially how when you move the ball in an offense, that driving just becomes that much easier for you and opens up the floor. And such a spacing, and everybody in Golden State involved. You know, we don't just say strength in numbers for the fun of saying strength in number. We say strength in numbers because we mean strength in number. Everybody touches the ball. Everybody contributes to Golden State, which is why teams really don't like Golden State, because they just have too much fun. Like, if you watch this basketball team, there's a tweet that I put out there that said, you know what, Golden State, NBA is boring when Golden State doesn't play. And a lot of that is, yeah, it's not entertaining watching many of these teams play basketball, because a lot of it's ISO. I get my minutes, your minutes, blah, blah, blah. But with Golden State, it's not just ISO basketball. It's team basketball. It's getting everybody involved. It's all about having fun, doing little dances, enjoying each other, looking at them on the bench, just conversation. You can tell these boys are brothers. And that just makes being a fan that much better for you and for the audience. So looking at this game was just one of the best games for me to watch, because it just showed us, like, through adversity we can survive. And it was an eye-opener for the rest of the league, because they're like, well, if Golden State can do this in a game where Steph Curry is shooting bad, I mean, come on. Like, that's insane. So it showed us, like, last year, a game like this against a top team. This is the Lakers we were playing, a top team, a team that everybody believes is going to get out of the West at the time. Like, imagine if Steph Curry shot 20-some percent from the field. We're getting blown out, thrown the gym by the end of the third quarter. Instead, we gathered, regrouped, and said, hey, we're still winning this game, and nobody's stopping us. And that's an important thing to realize. Which takes me to the next game, because everybody knows this game really, really, really threw the cake on all of them. Clippers versus the Warriors game. Oh, boy. Like, boy, was this game just special for so many reasons. That first quarter that Steph Curry had, I've never seen him had it in his entire career. 9 for 9, 25 points. He was just blazing in that first quarter. And if you're a fan of basketball, you don't have to be a fan of Golden State. You don't have to be a fan of Steph Curry. If you were a fan of basketball, that was something to watch. You know, that game, just the way he took over, the way he was not willing to be denied, 45 points. I mean, it was just a thing of beauty. And just to see how the team reacted to it, and how everybody was like, you know, it's Steph Curry time. You know, we're getting a show, sit back and enjoy it. And you know what? Boy, did we. We just sat back and we enjoyed it. And game came in very close in the end, and shouldn't have been that close, but we pulled out, and once again, we were able to close certain games we weren't able to close last season. And then the Kings game, I mean, from start to finish, I felt like that game was just our game. There was not a moment in that game that we thought we were going to lose. Maybe towards the end of the fourth quarter, but we pulled off. And loved the Kings game, loved the energy that we pulled in that game. Most of our team, you know, like, we weren't, like, shooting, like, out of the numbers or anything like that, but it was just the fact that we were able to come together and just, like, be a good team. Once again, Jordan Poole, like, that kid is special. He was putting some in that, like, I love watching Jordan Poole's game and his confidence, and it just rises as he goes. And that's something, if you're a Golden State fan, you gotta love and be proud of, and just, you know, move forward from it. Our next few games have just been like similar patterns of us just battling till the end. Whether that is early blow, I mean, we did take care of, like, I thought the Thunder game, we didn't take it as seriously as we should have. We said it's the Thunders, took a little backseat. I didn't like the way we executed the game. We were very lazy. But the team realized, you know, let's get serious. Now this brings me to the Grizzlies game. The Grizzlies game, nothing made me more angry than that loss. Not because of just the loss in the end, but more importantly, how we lost. Like, when you're up 19 points on a team, it is not time for you to screw around. It's not time for you to play around. It's not time for you to just get your head out of the game and just think, let's play around. Like, no. We're not doing that. We're not in the business of acting a fool. And that's what we did in the Grizzlies game. And especially in the end, because we did lose in overtime this game. Like, our offense was non-existent. We scored 101 points, including OT. Like, come on. Like, and Steph, you know, that fourth quarter and overtime, just like, I felt like we just tried to force it. He kind of got cold, and it was just, you know, we didn't play team basketball. And there was a second violation. I mean, you can't take that with the game up close. Come on. Like, you can't do that. And we could have done so much better. We didn't respond very well to the 19-point lead, and I didn't, as a fan, that was one of those games where, like, it felt like, oh, we're back at last year. Here we go again. We've had ourselves a very good start to the season. I mean, here we are, 4-0, and then we get to the Grizzlies game. We're just, hello? Like, no, it felt like 2021 didn't give us any hope. Then we came out in the OKC game, and we said, hold it. Our defense showed up. 82 points, that's all we gave up? Yeah, that's all we gave up. 82 points, domination. Like we said, no more playing around. Walked into that game, lovely. I mean, our offense wasn't even that powerful, but it was the defense that won us that game. Like, we shut everybody out. Then the Hornets game, same thing. Defense really got us again. 92 points, keeping the team. I mean, that Hornets team is high-flying on offense. They have a terrible defense. I thought we would have taken more advantage of scoring more, but still, what a win. What a great game. Pelicans, I mean, they were missing key players, but this is how you execute. I talked about the OKC game, how, yeah, the team was missing some few key players, and we thought, and they were not a very good team, so we said, let's just play around. No, we didn't play that with the Pelicans. We won by 40. We knew that, hey, this is not a joke. Same with the Rockets game that followed. This isn't a joke. The Hawks-Warriors game was one of my second favorite game behind the Clippers game so far in the season, and a lot of that has to do with not just because we won the game, it's how we won the game, and the Steph Curry greatness that showed in that game. I mean, Trae Young was cooking us in that first half. He was getting whatever he wanted in that first half. And that's important to mention. He was literally doing whatever he wants. There's nothing to stop him. And we went into halftime. Don't know what we did, you know, the usual Golden State halftime. Snorted some coke, did whatever they did. Steph went on the mention, saw that he was getting slandered. And, you know, it's not like funny slander, but it's more of like, we know you're reading our mentions, like, we know what you're doing, buddy, like, get it together. And Steve Kerr on the halftime and said, you know what, they always box in one step, they always out here throwing some janky defenses at step. Why does Trae Young get to run around this gym and not get any of this defense? So what did Steve Kerr did? He said, I'm gonna give him a taste of their medicine. Boom, we put Trae Young in that box and one defense, slowed their whole offense out, took playmaking out of the way, and third quarter Warriors happened. And third quarter Warriors, when I tell you, is a thing of beauty. Steph Curry happened, and he said, nah, Trae Young, you are not me. You are not new me. I'm still here, and I'm getting better. I'm about to be 34 years old and about to have the best season of my career. Like, come on, I'm only getting better. And then we got to a Timberwolves game, and we had similar issues with Timberwolves game, because we started off, even though we won this game, we were up 20 some at some point in this game, and we just cut it down to a 4-point lead. No excuse, none at all. You don't do that. You don't mess around with teams just because you think they're below you. No, when you're up 20 point, close them out. Don't give them hope. Don't let teams stick around. And at this point in our in the season, it's not time for you to like mess around and for you to like give yourself a bad loss. We already did that with Memphis. Memphis should have taught you a lesson. You up 19 and you mess around with a team that literally can turn it up whenever they want. They might, their record may not show it, their history may not show it, they may not have the stars, the top 10 stars in the league, but they're a good group of guys, a group of men that come together and that play for an effort. And Memphis is a fun team to watch. Timberwolves, somebody who lives in Minnesota, fun team to watch. So they're gonna keep battling. You don't want to give them that chance. Now, this is about November 10th, and after this win, everybody was walking around talking about Golden State didn't face anybody good. They had an easy schedule. They're only good because of the schedule. Blah, blah, blah. They barely face a 500 team. Blah, blah, blah. In comes the Hot Bulls, the number one in their conference at the time. The DeRozan and Zach LaVine, top five in MVP. Both of them averaging over 26-plus points. Here they come. Everybody talking about Golden State facing weak teams. You know what we said? Hold it right there. Pause. Welcome to our lesson. Gave the Bulls a lesson. Run them out the gym. We literally ran them out the gym. We was up that whole game, had control the whole game, and we didn't let no Zach LaVine and no DeMar DeRozan, none of them people punk us, none of that fear. They'll say they were missing their center, but we're like, well, we're missing Klay and James Wiseman. This whole injury thing is kind of funny because it doesn't apply to Golden State. Every team has this nerve to say, well, we're missing such player. We're missing literally the biggest key player in any team in the NBA. We're missing our second best player. We're missing a 21-point-plus average scoring player who literally shoots over 40%, the second greatest shooter in NBA history, sniper, one of the greatest perimeter defenders in the league. And you talking about you missing, who cares? We don't care what you're missing. And we're missing our James Wiseman, our promising rookie. God knows what his ceiling could be. We also at this point didn't even have our other two rookies. So I don't know what this whole we're missing player argument comes into Golden State. Every time Golden State steps foot on the court, before they get Klay Thompson back, they are missing a player, a key player. Because if Klay was playing and didn't have this injury and he went down, we would be getting this excuse. But because Klay's been out for more than 2 years, the excuse somehow doesn't work for Golden State. It's not mentioned. And that to me is really not sitting right with me. And I'm not going to let nobody come into Golden State and say, we're missing a player. I'm sorry. We're missing like two starters, so take a back seat. And role players. Don't talk to me about that. Now, after a great win, the way we responded to the Hornets game, that can't happen. And those kind of games are games we lost more than they won. And I don't want to take credit from the Hornets, but the execution in Golden State in that game and what we was all doing, it wasn't cute. I don't even want to talk about that game because I'm like, did we not learn our lesson? Was that not a wake-up call? But you know what? Let's just focus on the next game because the next game, boy. Guess who came to town? The huffing, puffing James Harden fans. The huffing, puffing Kevin Durant fans. Oh, my God. Steph Curry needs KD. Oh, you must have forgotten who the hell Steph Curry was before he came to Golden State. I mean, before KD came to Golden State. Nobody. I mean, if there's fans out there that do it, because we don't talk about irrational, radical fans. I'm talking about clear-minded people. No. The greatness of Kevin Durant. I will never deny the greatness of Kevin Durant. We're not in the business of denying his greatness. You can deny it all you want. You can cry about it. You can go in the car. You can throw fists. You can tweet all you want. You can get all the love you want on Twitter about hating on certain superstars. But you can't deny their greatness. At the end of the day, Kevin Durant is one of the greatest basketball players to ever step foot on an NBA court. And in the world, matter of fact. He's good at what he does. He's such a volume efficient scorer. And him in Golden State was completely unfair. And him being there was just a thing of beauty. And instead of enjoying it, this is how they tear this team apart. Because KD stayed, Golden State is winning like titles till the end of their prime. And that's a mistake more on Kevin Durant because he walked away for such a greatness. And tonight, you know, whether that was according to a lot of sources, he wanted to build. He didn't feel like the Golden State appreciated him, whether that was true or not. I know fans. I know me. I appreciate him be there. He made it so easy. I used to just be like, let me know when Golden State, like, wins the title. I'm like, we already know. And he expected to get some type of extra love from media members. I mean, come on, Kay. I understand that you wanted more love than Steph Curry, but Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He's just... how do you describe this? He's just so fun to watch and entertaining. It's so easy to root for him, especially if he's battling, which he's been there on your team for 10 years. He's out here, been there through the bad and the good. You don't turn your back on him. He's fun, and he changed the game, revolutionized the game. And the fans are loving it. I mean, and then you go to Brooklyn. You let Kyrie convince you to go to Brooklyn. Not even Brooklyn. I think you're playing in Jersey. You're in freaking New Jersey. Not even New York. You could have been to the Knicks, and you could have been freaking shining in Madison Square Garden. You turned that opportunity away for a guy who doesn't even want to take the damn vaccine, not because he's anti-vaxxer, but because he wants to fight for that. How about he fights for something more serious than a goddamn vaccine or the right for the vaccine? How about he fights for abortion rights or something? Like, what the hell is anti-vaccine fight? Like, I don't even know the case. But that's who you left. You took that headache, and you got another guy who's just not motivated to be there and doesn't want to change and doesn't want to sacrifice or get himself in shape. I mean, we know James Harden, what he's capable of, which is why this November 16 game was very amazing to watch, because not only was Steph Curry special and he outdoed you, and like KD at this point in the season was out here shooting some numbers that even KD was shocked about. Like, this efficiency was out of pocket. This man was going like 17 for 18 on every game. Like, he wasn't missing nothing. And the MVP race was like very, like, you know, 1A, 1B. And KD maybe had the edge at this point in the season, even though Steph had the better record. And then in this game, the MVP chants in his own home. The fact that his fans in Brooklyn were chanting for Steph to shoot the ball to get to 40 points. That's insane. Like, I mean, come on. They wanted him to keep shooting and nah. Like, that's sad. I mean, that game was incredible as a Warrior fan to watch. It shows you, like, hey, we just did this to Brooklyn. And they'd be like, oh, we didn't have Kyrie. Well, guess what? We didn't have Clay. We didn't have James Harden. I mean, James Wiseman. We're not going to keep doing this. Like, we don't care that you didn't have Kyrie. You still had two top 10 players on that court and lost. And at the end of the day, that's the story. You even threw the towel in so early in the game. I mean, I've never seen something like that happen. And moving on to the Cleveland game. First of all, I want to just shout out that the Cavs have been one of the better teams to watch. They have been so fun. Like, I can't even put into words how fun it is to watch this team. And I was kind of sad a little bit that some of the great players for the Cavs didn't get to play tonight. And that's fine. But we won this game. That's all that matters. We won this game very easily, but Cavaliers, I mean, y'all got to be proud of me. Y'all got to be happy. I mean, I know Cleveland is Cleveland. Who the hell is excited to be in Cleveland? But it's Cleveland, to be honest. And it's important to mention that because being in Cleveland is so special. And not special being in Cleveland, but being part of this team is kind of special right now, what they're developing and these young studs. And I don't usually want to spend this pod talking about the Cavaliers, but I was just like, I was out amazed because of how the rookie Evan Mobley's been playing, how Garland and the injury to Sexton was kind of low ball, but still, this team is just so fun. And not to mention Jared Allen, what a value they got on him. Amazing. And that game wasn't as dominating as it should have been because Cleveland plays hard and with so much heart. And that's just respect to Cleveland. And moving forward to the Pistons game, I mean, obviously, you know, this is the game that Steph didn't play. But, you know that team. We deep enough to just win games. Like, there's certain teams you can just say, yeah, you know, you five-win teams, you know, throw them out there. And it was elite to see them battle in a game where he's like, oh, you know what? We don't have to. We can have Steph rest and give him a little day because, you know, it's going to be a couple of back-to-backs here and there. And I hope he rests his certain ones. But that was a good one. And we won. I mean, we did almost trick off the game in the end. And that was so close. And because we were able to pull off this game, we can say it was a great win. The Raptors game. Ugh, this game pissed me off. And by this game, I mean, like, Nick Nurse really pisses me off. Can you stop this stupid-ass janky defense? Like, it's fucking annoying. Like, come on. Like, you were focused on stopping Steph Curry more than winning the game. And that was ugly. Watching that game was just ugly. Because you out here playing stop Steph Curry, not stop the Warriors. And I'm glad the Golden State Warriors did not fall for your stupid tricks. and we played a great game, and we didn't try to force nothing. Because we realized you want to send 3-4 people at Steph Curry, everybody else is going to be wide open. And you're going to regret it. And you didn't give a fuck the whole game. Like, that shit was just annoying. Come on, Nick. Do better. Literally, do better. I don't even want to talk about that game. That game pissed me off. The 76ers game was just beautiful. I mean, Seth Curry, I don't know what you got against your brother, buddy, but you always want to take off against us. But you know what? Don't worry. Curry held his own. Big bro said, you're not going to outscore me. So that last three-pointer was pretty fucked up, but we take it. We love that. And that game also, like, it was really fun to watch. I know you guys were missing Embiid and whatnot, but once again, I don't care. We don't care. It was a dominant win. We didn't start dominant, but it was pretty dominant. The Trailblazer game, I mean, it's just a sad organization right now. I mean, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't know what it is over there, but nah. No. Something's got to change. That game was just pathetic. Just watching them, like, I don't even think we put effort in it. We just won it so easily. And it was fun to watch because it was a good Trailblazer. And Dame fans be radical as hell. I mean, the bubble, that bubble MVP had them talking so stupid. Like, we had people saying Dame's a better distance shooter. What? Dame's a better three-point shooter. What? That man, for such a great, great shooter, is the only great elite shooter who takes also 9+ threes a game, who has never hit over 40% in his career except for the bubble. And even for him to do it in the bubble, he literally had to have 60-point games, like, close it out in a controlled environment. Like, think about that. What was he mean NBA for 9 years as an elite shooter shooting that at that volume, have no efficiency? It's insane that he even gets recognized for this. Because Steph, for a moment last season, started the season shooting 39% from three, and the whole world was taking a spin on his legacy. Talking about his legacy must be over. How the fuck is his legacy over in 4 games? Because he shot 39%. But we got Dame, a career below 40% shooter, who has never shot over 40% in a real NBA season, except for one time in a damn bubble. And he's never questioned. Like, make that make sense to you. Literally doesn't. But you know, I'll move on. Portland does not need more time. That Clippers game, I mean, it was on a Sunday. I feel like the NBA should never have a game on Sunday, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, I'll have a pod about the whole NBA and things that can be improved on the NBA because there's a whole lot of fucked up shit going on in the NBA and their management. I mean, like, they just need to hire me, and I'll make sure this product is top in the league. Ain't no reason for you to have a game on Sunday. That's for football. Stop playing. And you made us miss a great game, too, because Clippers versus the Warriors was amazing. I didn't need to have a split screen on there, but that was an amazing game. And at this point in our career, I mean, in our season, we only have 2 losses. But here comes the Suns, the team that has been hot. They have won, at this point, 17 games in a row. Oh, my God. They just beat, like, the Nets or something. I mean, they were really, really rolling. And they came in that first half. We were battling. I mean, Steph was just missing open shots. I mean, these are shots he usually hits. It was just a bad night for us. And we lost. Even though Booker went out, we lost this game. And I'm going to put that loss on us. Because we were in it the whole time and we just didn't execute it. And just Steph couldn't hit these shots. And that's fine because we all have games like this. I mean, it wasn't just, I don't want to say it was fine because the effort in this game was off too. There was like zero effort. And it was one of those games where you just shook your hand and said, move on. And that's when everybody was, they were just waiting for that one game, that one bad game Steph Curry had. Because he's had all these great games in a row, leading the MVP candidate, did all this stuff. And this, that one game came and they said, you know what? Maybe he isn't that good anymore. Maybe Phoenix is a team to beat. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on. Come on. Like, y'all expect Steph Curry to be great in 82 games. And you know what? It comes with the territory of being Steph Curry. So I guess I can't even be mad anymore because that just speaks to his greatness. That's it. That's all you got to say. Move forward because F y'all. Like, I mean, y'all want to be mad about something like this? Y'all want to bring up this man's legacy any chance you get? I mean, I just love that Steph just doesn't care. And sometimes I don't love it that he doesn't care, but we talk about that some other time. But just a season overview. We did get the Suns right after that game again. And they didn't have Booker and we had a commanding win, but people will dismiss us. So you know what? Suns fans and everybody out there, we're gonna see you and all y'all dusty asses on Christmas. And you know what? I hope Klay plays that game, and I hope Devin Booker plays that game, because it's on site. You and your delusional fans. Like, y'all out of pocket. And you know what else is out of pocket? The Spurs game. That was out of pocket. First of all, why the hell were you down 20-plus points to start the game? Like, what was you doing, Golden State? Like, what was going on in that Spurs game? Like, you know what? I want to speak on the Spurs game because it's not that we lost. It's not that... Like, I said this about the Memphis game. I feel like this one pissed me off more than the Memphis game because we came all the way back. We got a three-point lead. 106-103. And in that moment, the game should have been over. Golden State, we have momentum. We're at home. And we have Steph Curry and Draymond Green. They don't got none of that. And what do we do? What do we do in this position? We get a foul call on JT, which, by the way, Steve Kerr should have challenged that because that would not have been a foul. Chose the wrong play to challenge. Then I'm like, fine, whatever. We'll still be up by one because let them make the two free throws. He makes the first one, misses the second one, but we don't box out. And it leads to a three-pointer, and now we're that turned into a four-point play. Now we're down one. Like, come on. Game is, you can't do that. That's called execute. We're the better team. We're the veteran team. We're supposed to be the smarter team, and you do that? And then the very next play, you make a turnover that leads to an ant. Oh, my. You can't do that. You just can't do that. Like, it was just the worst execution I've ever seen. Including last year, too, because that was just sad. I mean, matter of fact, let me scratch that. That four-point play foul on Bradley Beal last year against the Wizards just threw my fucking sparkles up in the air. Like, that shit was crazy. But this Spurs game was just, it was just out of pocket. I wish we lost in a blowout because it wouldn't have pissed me off as much as we pissed me off, right, to end this game. Like, you cannot lose on execution. You cannot get outsmarted. You cannot lose a game for being dumb. That just pisses me off. And I think the Magic took the fall for it in the very next game. But still, it was the Magic regardless. We were going to win that game. And no need to go over that game because that game was just special because of the way Golden State plays. That's how Golden State operates. We blow teams out, and we're that much better. And lastly, the last game of the season we've had so far against the Trailblazers. I had a love-hate relationship with this game because the record, the Golden State Warriors were so focused on getting Steph Curry that record. 16 threes. Once again, that speaks to his greatness. Like, you think he can make 16 threes in a game and you plan for this? Like, that's crazy. I know Portland has a bad defense, but that's crazy expectation. And I got to give shout out to Portland, though, because without CJ and Dame there, somehow their defense was special. Because 104 is the only thing they gave up to this high-flying Golden State team, who just came from a 106 victory. And insane to think about, too, how we were so focused on getting Steph the ball so much and rushing these shots and whatnot. I mean, we could have won this game a lot easier, but we still got the win, so that's something to positive, which we're looking forward to the 76ers games tomorrow. He's 10 away now, and I'm saying, you know, once this record is over, it's over. Once it's over, we have a better chance at becoming that much greater. And then, obviously, guys, we have this road trip where we have the Pacers, which I believe Steph will rest in that game, depending on what he does in the 76ers game. Let's say if he hits 6-7 threes, they're resting him the Pacers game, possibly have him break the record on the Knicks game. And then after that, we got the Celtics, and then we have the Raptors. And then after the Raptors, Monday, December 20th. I will be in San Francisco on Monday, December 20th. And that's what typically means that Klay might be returning on that date. And or the Thursday, because I don't know what a gap we have. Monday to Thursday, he might be returning the Grizzlies game. Or he might play the 20th game and just rest all till the 23rd. And then Christmas in the Suns game. And those are three games we just have to look forward to as a Golden State fan. And throughout the season, I mean, before the All-Star break. But, oh my God, like, Klay's return, Wiseman's return. I mean, this team is going to be a special team to watch moving forward. And a scary team. I mean, you should be scared because we're going to be 2016 on steroids. And I know y'all saw Kuminga and Moody in that last G League game and what they were doing. I mean, Steve, come on. Take these boys out of G League. They don't need to be in G League. They could have played that game against the Portland. It would have been a perfect game for them. Moody is a perfect 3-and-D guy. Love it. Like, he's NBA ready. Kuminga might be a little raw, but man, his physicality. That boy is going to be special. He's a man, actually. I'm not going to call him a boy. He's a man. He's a grown man. Like, what is he? 6'8"? 225 pounds? Oh, my God. Like, just special. Like, that's his physical gift right there. And you can't deny that. And if you're Golden State, you just got to be happy about that. Because there's nothing to go over. So, Steve, I'm going to need you to bring back the rookies and find a way to put this whole roster in motion. And it's insane that Golden State is 20-4 right now. 20-4, and I don't even think we've played at 50% capacity yet. I think we're at 40% right now. 40% of our greatness have shown. There's 60% we still need to tap into. A lot of that has to do, 30% is Clay himself and how much he opens his offense. Wiseman and the rookie, another like 20%, and 10% of just getting rid of fouls and turnover and fixing his rotations and lineups. I mean, Kevon Looney has not helped us very well this year, but I'm going to give Kevon Looney a little bit of a break because he does a lot of things that stats can't account for, but he got to do better. I mean, he's got to do better. Stop pump faking, bro. I've seen your highlights in high school. What are you pump faking the air for? Looney, you 25 years old, but sometimes I swear to God you 40. Like, come on. You can't do that. Like, stop pump faking the air. I mean, worst part is you pump fake a wide open layup, and then you get hit. You go to the line just to go over two, and you just wasted two easy points. For what, though? Come on, Looney. Come on. I know you see the timeline. I hope you see the timeline. They're not your fans right now, but I'm rooting for you. And I'm rooting for you to just stop pump faking. That's just a start. We're not asking for much. Once you eliminate the pump faking, we can move on to other things. But for now, stop pump faking wide open layups and wide open dunks. And Draymond Green, stop trying to throw alley-oops to Looney. And stop throwing the ball to him and three people around it. Come on. Draymond sometimes, I feel like, is trying to test the defense stupidity sometimes. He's thinking, what can I get away with? I feel like that's how Draymond operates. Because he don't really start playing the game until he gets serious. Because you know Draymond will flip a switch whenever he wants to flip a switch. And Draymond, you know, I will make a pod about Draymond and his greatness and what he means to this team as a leader, because we give him a lot of hate for no reason, and we don't appreciate him as much as we should appreciate him. But I appreciate you, bro. But sometimes I worry about you, because I'd be like, bro, you got to be a psychopath to be trying to defenses every game. And Draymond's ability not to be scared of anybody during a fast break when he's on 3-on-1, that's just special. That alone needs like an hour of a segment, because that's how special Draymond is. Anyways, this has been a great season. A start. I don't think anybody imagined this kind of start for Golden State, except for some few people, but nobody really predicted 20-4. Easily could have been like 26-2, but 22-2, not 26-2. But this team has so much more to offer. So much more to things to do, and like so much more things to cover. I mean, we haven't just utilized our rookies yet. We haven't played to our best offense. We got to stop turning the ball over, stop fouling. I mean, Steph hasn't even went on been Steph, and this is leading the MVP category. He's out here doing historical things, and he's and you could just look at him and he's holding back on, like, I mean, I'm scared for other fan bases. Like, it's just so exciting. Like, the days that Golden State doesn't have games, I'm like, what is missing about my life right now? Why am I so bored? And I got to get out there. Never been to a Golden State home game, and I got to get out there. And I know it's going to be special when Clay returns. And Chase, by the way, Chase Center is starting to find his own identity. That place is loud and rocking. I mean, it was rock A at first because they weren't standing up for many shots, and they weren't, like, that loud, and it wasn't that good to watch. And now I'm like, damn, they are out here. They're out here running laps in Chase Center. And it's going to be fun to get out there soon in San Francisco. But as a team, as a fan base, I mean, there's a lot of things we got to work on, especially this fandom, like, where we're continually, like, attacking each other and debating on who should be traded. We're 24. Nobody should be traded. We're 20-4 right now. And people are like, oh, jump into this thing while you can. And all these offers, you know, get this, blah, blah, blah. How about you mind your business, other fan bases? How about you worry about your team who's barely 500? And stop trying to tell me we got to trade ours. We ain't got to trade shit. And when there is an opportunity that does present itself, we will take it. And there's nothing wrong with it. But right now, please enjoy the ride and stop trying to attack each other. We should be happy. We should be running marathons, not attacking each other and about who's right and who's wrong. Come on. Y'all could do better than that. Anyways, that's my wrap-up of the first quarter of the season. I hope to do more post-game pods, more topics. I mean, if there's things you guys want me to cover, do some spaces. I mean, that's just my raw. And I don't even think I went through as in-depth as I wanted to. Very busy grad student right now. But I hope to get into it more. And it was nice speaking to you guys. Feel free to email, DM me with any questions. Thank you. This is Nana signing out. If you know, you know, in a database. Big step. Fuck around with us. Big step. Big step. Come on. Look like you, bitch. Hey. I'm big stepping. 4-5 on me, look like I'm bitch pressing. Big weapon. Get to talking shit, then I'ma get the chit checking. Big stepping. 4-5 on me, look like I'm bitch pressing. Big weapon. Get to talking shit and we gon' get to chit checking. Yeah.